Welcome to the Motoring Podcast, your weekly discussion of motoring news. This is episode 140 on Tuesday, the 10th of October, 2017. Hello, I'm Alan.
Hello, I'm Andrew. And this week we will be talking about why there are 30 days past September, but that's still not enough. London demands cash from the Germans. We get an iTunes review. And Norway's EV miracle is explained. But first, we have some follow-up once Alan has removed his head from his hands and shakes his head at my weekly menu.
Weak being the operative word, yes. Anyway, Audi.
Yes, Ulrich Weiss was sacked after the Dieselgate thing came out because Audi said that they claimed that he knew all about this, about the diesel engines, all the rest of it. He then took them to employment tribunal, and now, after rejecting all these allegations, by the way, and now that they have both released a statement saying that the working relationship with Weiss has been terminated by mutual consent, and nothing else can be talked about due to data protection reasons. So
you said it wrongly. I'm sorry. Yeah, that had to be read that he has been terminated by mutual consent. That's it. How could you have missed an opportunity like that? Yes, that is.
So
that.
Yeah. So we don't. We won't know how much Audi have had to cough up. We won't know how embarrassing it's been for them. In the seemingly knee-jerk reaction. It's done. It's out the way. He can go off and get another job now. Or maybe not need to.
Yes, exactly. Well, there is that too. Yes, I can't remember how old he was, actually. But yes, anyway, so that's over. And that's the follow-up for this week. What Andrew didn't say at the top of the show is that it's not a very... it's not really been the busiest week in the UK.
No, there's plenty of gossipy articles out there, which we won't do because they're too gossipy. We could have gone in at length about how the LeBron and Intel ad is just phony and doesn't do anything to help anyone have any confidence about autonomous vehicles, because it wasn't an autonomous vehicle, but never mind. But we're not doing that.
No.
And then there's all the usual teaser stuff that's leading up to Tokyo Motor Show. But we are planning to do a...
And there's Tesla stuff as well.
But... Yeah, well, yeah, there's... I'm not going to... I can't be bothered talking about Tesla. There's just... There's so much that we could discuss that I don't want to do it, because then we become... Look like we were an anti-Tesla when we're anti-business practices, which are shady.
Yes, exactly.
So...
Exactly. So that if you're wondering why we've missed those out and are saying there's still not much news, that's why.
Nobody needs to listen to that.
However, least of all me, and I get very little choice in the matter. However, the big news last week was, of course, that not just that demand for new cars and, of course, the SMMT's new car registration figures had dropped for the sixth consecutive month, but, of course, that sixth consecutive month was September. September, traditionally... the highest registering month of the year, thanks to that. Of course, the registration change at the start of it. Last month there were 426,170 units registered, which sounds like a lot until you realise that that's down 9.3% on the equivalent month last year. It is the first time in 6 years that there has been a drop in September. You know, September on September. When the last time that happened was in 2011. And to put the size of drop, that 9.83%, into context, it was down 0.8% the last time it dropped. So
I don't think we can undersell this.
Let's not be too coy about it. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say and failing miserably. This is pretty serious.
Because this is on the back end of everyone having a almost everyone at the time, you know, the end of year month came into being, everyone having a scrappage scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the manufacturers had a very good idea of how poor September was going to be, and they were trying to head this off at the pass a little bit. But that, if you're doing it just for sales, then you're just putting off the bad news.
You are. And the thing is that the drops are quite curious across the spread. So as you know, normally diesel, petrol, alternative fuel vehicles. Well, then year on year, alternative fuel vehicles are up 41%. They're now at 5.3% market share in the month of September, and
5.3.
Read the right thing. Overall, yeah. So 4.6% market share overall so far this year. 5.3 for the month of September. The thing is that diesel, so whilst petrol was down 1.2%, diesel was down 21.7% year on year. And I know we talk about diesel getting lots and lots and lots, and I'm going to try not to drag too much of it in here now. But I can't imagine that Volkswagen is very popular with the other car manufacturers right at the moment.
No, not at all. Not at all. I don't think they are anyway, because you look at how so many of them are scrambling to say they've got this electrified future. This goes back to what we were saying, that that is probably the biggest effect Dieselgate has had. Not, I don't think it's going to be the health side of things. That's going to be a side benefit for people. But I think it's the fact that the manufacturers have been shocked into moving to electrification quicker than they wanted or thought they were going to have to, even if they were thinking about it, which they must have. Please, someone reassure me they were all thinking about it, you know, the ones who weren't doing anything.
They must have all been thinking about it, to be honest, because many of them were able to come out with things.
Yeah, but did you see
quickly? I think it's relatively easy to tell who has been thinking properly and who hasn't. And Mercedes was the example I was about to give of someone who really had done absolutely nothing about electrification. Sure, there's some plug-in hybrids, but that's really about it.
You know, their EQ is going to be revealed to the world next year, and they're hoping to have an actual model to sell first half of 2019. I mean, what have they been doing?
Whenever you look at... Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel that they were probably one of the worst caught in the back foot. You know, you've got people like Toyota and stuff who've been doing this for years. So BMW already had the i ranges out. There's lots of Nissan and the Leaf.
Well, I mean, they are going to be caught out when the new business...
They're going to be a generation behind.
When the new biz... Well, forgetting that how behind they are on the technology, maybe they can catch a bit of that up. But they're going to be behind on sales in this country and, by the sounds of it, across Europe, with the fact that they are now... tax VED rates are going to be, and particularly the business in kind stuff, is going to be judged on how many miles the alternative fuel bit will go on its own without needing the petrol. So, you know, it's what we discussed last week, is removing the fake environmental mileage that is what has been deemed is what has been happening. But anyway, sorry, we are talking about other stuff because it's... Frankly, it's quite...
We are talking about other stuff, really. But it is kind of related. Well, it is. I'm sitting here ready to slip my wrist. No, seriously, it is pretty depressing, actually. And it's depressing the number of it's depressing that there are manufacturers who seem to have been caught very much on the back foot when it comes to this alternative fueled future. That said, let's look at the bestsellers list for September. And it doesn't seem to have done them that much harm. So bestsellers, bit of a shock at the top of the list. But let's start at number 10 with 7,584 registrations. The Mercedes-Benz C-Class at number 9 is the A-Class with about 90 more registrations. 8th is the Nissan Juke. 7th is the Mini. 6th is the Volkswagen Polo. And 5th is the Vauxhall Corsa with 8,562. I know, somebody had to register them sometime. Fourth is the Ford Focus. Significant jump here of about 1,800. So 10,235 registered. Third is the Ford Fiesta.
Is no hiding behind there's a new model out and all that stuff. Because it's a couple of months now.
It should be on stream.
Now, and they've had a scrappage scheme. They've been in my local. They've been in the showroom and the forecourt of my local Ford dealer for a long while now. These should have been flying, which reinforce. If they're not moving, it reinforces the concern that everyone is keeping their hands in their pockets, whether it's a business or it's somebody with their own money, because they're worried about the future, and that's what it's down to.
Maybe. I don't know. It could just be that they're not overproducing at the minute. You know what I mean? It's still not. I mean, whether the line is still completely up to... This is speculation, mate. What you've just said is speculation. I don't understand.
People aren't going out and buying. That's what the, so therefore, the cars aren't being registered.
I don't...
Or whether there's a backlog to clear.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it could be that people are buying the previous one at humongous discounts. No, but that wouldn't matter. It still registers a Ford Fiesta.
No, but so if it's already been registered, we're just plucking the Ford Fiesta out of example.
Well, that's
here.
It. Yeah, there's
we're just plucking that as an example because
it's just because traditionally it's number one.
It's dropped from number one for the last 2 months, and we sort of had a reason that could, we felt last month, but this month not so much.
Well, I say maybe a couple of emails are in order, and I will actually finally get that one out of drafts.
Okay, good.
So
what's number three? Number two, then.
So number two is the Volkswagen. So you remember just there that number three was the Ford Fiesta, 10,826 units. Number two is the Volkswagen Golf at 12,800. Number one is the Nissan Qashqai at a whopping 13,499. I bet they wished it would just be one more. 13 and a half, nice round number. But no, it wasn't. Which is pretty impressive.
It is.
It is. I don't know, when you look at the Qashqai, maybe you think maybe Motability were renewing their fleet in September there or something. Overall year to date, the Fiesta is still ahead by 18,000 units almost. 75,814. Ford second game of the Focus, and then it goes Golf, Qashqai, Corsa, Astra, Polo, C Class, Mini, and A Class in that order. So, So that's it for individual models. The by mark.
The spreadsheet of doom.
Now, the trouble is, The trouble is that Andrew got to the spreadsheet before I did. So the whole thing is pink.
Well,
with a few
notable exceptions. I have only picked anything that was over a mine. Well, for minus figures, for the pink, I've only picked anything over minus 14%. So there's others that are
and
down.
There are still.
There's quite a few others, maybe half a dozen, that are still in minus figures that I've not selected. So, well, yes, it is leaning heavily towards the red end.
There are 19 that you've coloured in pink here,
so
mate.
That's how bad a month it's been.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 that are still white. So they're in that orangey zone that you've said. And then there's 1, 2, 3, 4 that you've coloured in green. So that gives you an idea of just where the scale is either side of zero, of no change. So notable performers are Alfa, 11.8%, Aston Martin, 10.7%, Infiniti, 58.98% up. So that's 407 vehicles registered instead of 256. So congratulations there. Good work.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they had a press release about how they've had their best global month as well. So that's
Doesn't surprise me. And and say at 14.16%. Yep. The rest of them, shall we try and club them together a little bit? If you can imagine a essentially mass market, middle market manufacturer that sells, that you can imagine selling a lot of diesel cars, it's down.
Except Nissan.
I didn't say that. You see, Nissan sells the Leaf.
Yeah, but...
That's why I was saying ones that you imagine sell lots of diesel cars.
And Volkswagen aren't. Right?
So hence your Renault...
From the Volkswagen brand, they are, but Volkswagen aren't. Oh, that's true.
Pardon me, you're right there. But stuff like your Skodas are down 14%. Peugeot's 20. MG, 16.
Don't look at PSA. Mazda's down at all.
20. DS is down 30%. And down 43% year on year. Year to date, by the way, for DS, it's not great. Dacia down 15. Bentley down 37, although I'm not really sure that represents what I've just said. So there are exceptions to what I was saying. Fiat down 42%, by the way.
Jeep, nearly 60%.
Jeep 57.5, did I say that? It's awesome time to be an FCA.
Vauxhall.
So again, there's lots of that.
That worries.
I was trying not to look. 25%
worries me. Awesome. It's another 25%. What was it last month? It was 20% odd, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's not another onto the 20%.
No. I know it's so not it's, cumulative, but it's another month of that size of drop.
Overall, they're down 20% this year so far.
And especially with the news of what PSA said this today about new cars from 2020.
Sorry, I missed that. I've been in meetings all day. But there's so lots of that kind of stuff. It's not looking awesome.
No, it's. It's grim.
But is this just readjustment? Are these people saying, okay, it's not looking great. If it's going to be a bad month, let's make it a bad month. Let's not pre-register and try and be clever about stuff. Do you think there's a chance that there's that kind of thing happening?
Well, SMMT themselves said that it was people being scared to spend money, whether businesses or private, and also gave them the opportunity to mention Brexit and lack of clear... direction for the motor industry on how that's going to go.
Well, why don't I read out the quotation from Mike Hawes, of the chief executive of the SMMT, where he points out that September is always a barometer of the health of the UK new car market, so this decline will cause considerable concern. Business and political uncertainty is reducing buyer confidence, with consumers and businesses more likely to delay big ticket purchases. The confusion surrounding air quality plans hasn't helped, but consumers should be reassured that all the new diesel and petrol models on the market will not face any bans or additional charges. Manufacturer scrappage schemes are proving popular, and such schemes are to be encouraged given fleet renewal is the best way to address environmental issues in our towns and cities. Yeah, I'm not sure about that overall, but in our towns and cities, all right, I'll give you that one. So,
but I can't remember where I saw the article, and I don't have a link for it, I'm afraid, but I did see an article that was discussing how businesses now it used to be 3 month long leases, and they're now, some of them are doing 3 month because of uncertainty.
3 year, you mean?
Three year. Now they're doing 3 months. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah,
and there could be a number of factors for that, but the fact that people are looking to that amount of detail does make me think, oh, hang on, people are a bit more worried.
Bear in mind that despite that, mate, that companies are still having to register these vehicles. So whether it's for a 3 year lease or if they're a rental company doing longer term rentals of 3 months. 3 month chunks like that, they still have to register the vehicles.
Not if you're taking from a pre-registered backlog.
They've got to have been registered at some point.
Maybe they are taking advantage on the 3 month ones of ones that are already registered. See, this is the thing. This is always the problem with it being new car registrations, is that we are always, it is not a reflection of what has actually been sold. This is a reflection of
what's been registered.
Pretty close to what the demand is possibly. And always, mm-hmm. that's why we, try to make sure that we remember to say new car registrations rather than new car sold, because we don't want to be tripped up by that. Well, is it really that amount that's gone out the forecourt or not?
And we know what you, our listeners, are like, because you're as pedantic as we are. You've
picked us up before.
and you will pick us up on that. So almost within minutes of the episode going up. So thank you. We really appreciate it.
It's good to be kept on our toes.
Yeah.
But
yes, too right.
See how next month is, or see how October is.
That's all we can say every month right at the minute.
I'm not overly confident, I have to say, with the way that more scrappage or slight tweaks to scrappage schemes seem to be released in the last couple of weeks. I'm not overconfident that October's going to be anything but a downward trend as well.
No. Anyway, should we move on to something happier?
Well, you say happier. You say happier, but it's not happier. As depressing. I mean,
it's essentially...
Let's move from something depressing to something else.
Something else that's less depressing, and then we can pick holes on it, because...
Yeah, well, recently, listeners will have been, I think, shocked and stunned, because we actually agreed with a move that Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, had made with regards to Uber and the reasons for that. However, this one, I'm not so sure I agree, because what he's done is he has called on the German car makers to fund clean air initiatives like they have in Germany and the US, saying that it's hypocritic of them to do it there and then go, yeah, but London doesn't matter, or pick another large, massive, huge, multicultural city in a country, and then say you should be doing it there. That's...
Yeah. Can you imagine what would happen if it was the other way around? Can you imagine the outcry if a German city, Berlin, said, well, you know, actually, I think that Jaguar Land Rover needs to start paying us, for any damage that we think that they may possibly have done, even though they haven't necessarily broken the law at all in Germany. So actually, give us money. Come on, Jaguar Land Rover, give us some money. You too, Nissan, you're a big thing in the UK. Give us money. Can you imagine the reaction that would get here in the UK and from politicians? It would be everywhere. And that's essentially what he's done here. I mean, he might as well have just called them war reparations or something. It's ridiculous. It's a... starting myself off now. It's an absolutely ridiculous situation and a crazy thing to have demanded. And he does this time and time again. Now, there are many, many ways in which I like and respect Sadiq Khan. Okay? When it comes to transport and when it comes to transportation policy and his attitude towards cars, I really, he really, really bugs me, because it's lowest common denominator, headline-grabbing moronity the vast majority of the time. And
it's being a typical politician, isn't it? It's not thinking anything through. It's what's going to get me a great headline, going to make me look like a fantastic person, even though I know it's not practical, even though I know it's not realistic.
It's total BS.
Because I'd spoken to someone who said they'd been in meetings with the Transport for London people and with the people advising Sadiq Khan, and they knew that car diesels,
yeah, Mayor's office,
are not the major factor in polluting in London. It's not them, it's the buses and stuff like that, but they're an easy target. So just enough with it. You know, come on, it's, as we've said time and again, show us clever thinking. Show us some intelligence. Show us how you're thinking about this below that stupid level that is very easy to get the hate mob going and the anti-car brigade get their knickers in a twist, and, you know, so we can all get torches and pitchforks and start marching upon anybody who's got a car, you know, because everything at the minute with the language that's being used in all of society here, I might go a little bit deep here now, but do apologise. With all of society, is everything is a battle. All the language is very, we are arming ourselves to take on this battle. We are arming ourselves to attack this point you're at, you know. And so therefore, if you use such aggressive language gets used back, and no one backs down. No one has the chance to pause and take a breath and start to think and say, right, no, come on. We have to talk about these things. We can't just keep shouting, because that isn't going to... Nothing will get fixed. We have to talk. We have to find some common ground and work from there and try and work out some ways that things can get better to improve whatever the thing is that we're trying to improve. And here, clearly, we need to improve the air quality in London. We need to improve the air quality across the whole of the UK. That's a given. That is nothing... It is something we have repeatedly said, even though we have repeatedly smacked down the arguments and the policies that have been put out by politicians across the country.
I would hardly say that we are petrol or nothing crowd.
No.
I think our track record displays that we are not, we do not have an issue with that. But yeah, anyway.
Sorry, it took us on a slight tangent.
It's all good fun, huh?
But it is an example of this, isn't it? And it's not going to get anywhere. And all it's done is just created another negative atmosphere against the car companies. Because how can the car companies react to that in any way that makes them look good, apart from to give money which they're not going to give? It's just PR, basically. It's political marketing. And you know how we're fans of marketing in this podcast anyway.
You know that you did actually just start to sound like Jonathan Pye just there.
Who?
It's all right, don't worry.
I'll have to Google after.
Okay. You'll have to look at YouTube, okay. I think.
Well, as long as I haven't gone Tucker, because then I've got a lot of editing to do.
No, not Tucker. Well, that was the stuff that you did. Yes. Anyway, right. Moving on. And he did say yes. Tucker, by the way. This is, of course, the point that in the show I remind you about our Patreon. Our Patreoners, for example, can be watching us record this right this very instant. That's just one of the fantastic things. One of the fantastic things that we offer to you in return for a small amount of your cash each month. If you'd like to know more about that, then please head to motoringpodcast.com and click on the orange Become a Patron button on the front page. If you're already one of our patrons, then thank you so very, very much. I say every time I post in the Patreon feed, thank you. We really appreciate your support. And of course, don't forget that, you know, we are looking, we're really our aim, our target, our indicator of success. I've been talking about these all day. Can you tell? Our indicator of success in this is a new patron each month. That really would be fantastic. So please let it be you. That'd be great. And of course, we'll take more than one because we're not going to turn you away like that. We understand, of course, that not everyone has the ability to do this. So please don't forget to like, rate, and leave feedback via the podcast player of your choice. One such person, what's your username? _Mac_. Yes, thank you. Hinge and bracket. Yeah. Cheers, bud. But in all seriousness, thank you so much for a five star review.
And the lovely words, actually, yeah, to be yes. fair, apart from the hinge and bracket.
And the lovely words other than the heading. Then yes, that's exactly what we're aiming for with the Motoring Podcast. So thank you so, so much for letting us know. That is fab. Andrew, yes. There's a new project that people
can we like a project.
They like people.
We do like a project.
We do.
And this one is from a friend of the show, James Ruppert of Free Car Mag. There is a link to go and have a look. But his 1984 Series 3 Land Rover is getting a restoration, refurbation-y, getting it back on the roady...
Rebuilt, I think.
Thingy. However, he's not intending to be too hands-on with it. He has, as he has described here, a tame mechanic. Which is...
They're the best kind of mechanic.
Which is helping to strip it all down and start it going again. So... I like seeing old Land Rovers brought back to life and restored. Alan is not necessarily so much of a fan of the Land Rover mark historically because of it. He has elbows. But
yes, well, no, shoulders actually. Shoulders and elbows.
So we will keep up to date with this, and when there are new developments, we will mention them on the show. But do go have a look on Free Car Mag.
Is this a point, by the way, when we're talking about project trucks, to point out that I no longer have one?
I think this might be a good point to do that. Alan, tell the ladies and gentlemen who listen what monumentous event occurred this week and why.
After 9 years and 10 months, 10 months, yeah, pretty much 9 years, 10 months, I sold the Veracross. Victor the Veracross, yes.
Why?
Because I didn't have time to make him work again. Well, no, he was working just fine. I just didn't have the time and resource to get the underbody sorted so that he could actually get through an MOT.
I was going to say, was he on the cusp of needing
well
more work than perhaps you had the time and ability to throw into him?
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
So it was time for him to find pastures new as someone was going to love him and cherish him and rock him to sleep every night.
Well, yeah, hopefully. That's what I'd really like. So I kind of decided that I really should stop procrastinating, as I have been doing for the last 18 months, and do something about it. And then I got home at about 11 o'clock on Friday night to discover a note through the letterbox from a chap saying, "If you're selling your truck, can you let me know?" And I was like, "Ooh, okay." So there were a few text messages back and forth, and he came, saw him, and Sunday and took him away. So I'm still getting over it. That sounds ridiculous, and you probably think I'm being more sarcastic than I am, but I'm not.
No, it's a long time. It's a long time to be with the car.
It's going
to
be a bit weird.
It is. And I have to say that I am back on the drive. I feel very lucky to have actually been in and been driven by him and you, and it was a fantastically mad car, and I thoroughly approve of mad cars. I unfortunately, because of my situation, cannot have mad cars. I need to have something remotely sensible, alas.
Oh, this is it.
Through space, through money, and having tiny people. So
Which kind of dictate the other, yes, two, really, don't they?
that has, yes, made those even sharper into focus. But yeah, I thought it's wonderful. He was rare, and he was great, and he was noisy, and it was, you know, your light bar was blindingly good. Actually, blindingly good. Not
yes, literally. I'd have to explain that. People saying, yeah, does that actually work? And it's like, oh yeah.
So, yeah, don't do it to let people out of a junction. They won't be able to move.
Okay, yeah, do it. It's awesome. It's fantastic. Everyone should have a light bar in their life. Definitely. So I don't know what's going to happen about. There's not going to be a direct replacement. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Well, you'll keep us updated. When you're thinking.
Yes.
Maybe we need to have a special edition where we run through a list of options and discuss them, the pros and cons.
I'm thinking maybe one of the options is a set of winter tyres for the MX-5, actually, right at the minute. So that's how dull and prosaic it's getting. It's okay, I'll swing back and forth and then keep looking at Auto Trader. I just haven't really had much time since Sunday to do that. So.
It's still very raw.
Anyway, should we move on with what we're actually meant to be talking about? Shut up, it is.
I know.
Genuinely is.
Come on then, let's move on to the next.
Great. Thank you. I was trying to find a way of connecting through to the next.
I couldn't think of a way of segueing.
Someone who does have a nut. Oh, he'll shoot you. I know that he knows people who can
shoot
you.
First.
yes. Anyway, what we're going to talk about next. Oh, yeah, next up was an article on thedrive.com by Alex Roy. Alex Roy, of course, best known, really, for for going back and forth across the USA at really quite high speeds in the past and significantly slower speeds now, where he's actually he did a lot of them very, very quickly because I just missed him when he was on this one. But he's trying to travel around the world to understand the future of transportation. Part of that actually involved his trip to India with Ed Niedermeyer and the driving of the Renault thingy. His name, Quid, across India. But first of all, in the first place that he actually went on that trip, because India was number three, I think, was to Norway, because he wanted to understand a little bit more about EVs and Norway, because of course everyone, including ourselves, hopefully with a bit more practical knowledge than many, talking about Norway as a centre for electric vehicles.
Yeah, it's held up as a poster child, isn't it, to how the adoption can actually happen much quicker and in a positive way, and that the government seems to be doing it in the right way. Well, he's dug beneath these surface headlines and he's tried to work out why that is the case and if it is actually the case.
Yeah, and he's talked about, you know, just to give a very quick recap of what some of those headlines are, of course, that the government subsidizes electric vehicles really quite heavily, in as much as there's no sales tax and things on them, which if you've ever visited Norway, you will understand quite what a novelty that is in Norway. Internal combustion engine cars have 100% sales tax on them straight out the door. So that gives you an idea of where you're looking to start with. So if you buy a Tesla Model S, you're about half the price of buying a Porsche Panamera, straight up. People go on about how there's no tax, no tolls, parking's free, charging is free, you can use bus lanes, you can do this, that, next thing, blah, 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 blah. And he has a bit more of a look into some of those things. And what he points out, to be honest, is a lot of it is very similar to what I've observed myself, is that people do it for the convenience, they do it because it's cheaper, they're doing it because they feel it's more ecological. They're not doing it for many of these supporting things, partly because it's very difficult to find a parking space with a charger in central Oslo. Mm. And as well as that, some things like just a supercharger network, all these kind of things, superchargers in general, are much harder to get because people just shove one at home, shove one at work, and then they work between it. So it's very strange, especially as it's oil money that's being used to fund a lot of this.
That is sold to us to make our ICE cars drive.
Well, it's sold to everyone else, yeah. And the thing about their EV is that they also have... They use hydro. They've used the oil money to invest in hydroelectricity to, in turn, to then power these vehicles. So there's a certain amount. Some people say it's... I've heard people, and this isn't from Alex's article, just describe that as hypocritical and blah, 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 blah. And they go, well, it isn't really hypocritical. And yeah, we know, but... That's the way it is, because that's where we get lots of...
Well, that's like saying that the Middle East is now investing so much in solar panels. Where was that cash coming from if it wasn't from oil? They've got the cash because of that, and now they realise that's no longer viable. You know, maybe even thinking, oh, hang on, that's not very environmentally sound. Perhaps we need to sort something else out. But the realities are that it's running out, so they've got to invest in other... options now. So that's like saying, well, I earned my money doing X, I can't use it to do Y. That was a bit of a weak argument to me, whereas the rest of the article I thought was very, very good.
Yes. Agreed. Yeah.
Because, you know, we are told, I mean, I know you know this for yourself, but we are told it's almost as though there's a free public charging point at every corner. You trip over the wires because there's that many. You can go down any bus lane. The ferries throw open their doors for you to rush on in your electrified vehicle.
But there are.
And every single toll, they wave you through, no problem at all. And he talked through his personal experiences.
In fact,
that
the tollkeepers bow to you.
The case. You know, it isn't that simple.
No, it isn't. They have in many ways, they have dialed many of these back because, and it's true, it was the case, and they started offering subsidies in 1990 or so. I think that's correct, 1990. Many of these have been dialed back as all of a sudden along came the Nissan Leaf and the Ioniq and the Zoe and cars you would want to actually own and drive as opposed to pre-Leaf and pre-i3 when there was really, you know, it was like, oh, what the heck is that? I can have a Mitsubishi IMEV or a Peugeot or a Citroen branded version, or I can have a lump. What are they called?
G-Wiz.
Thank you. A lump.
Lump was better. Everybody knew what it was.
That shows the level of regard in which I hold the G-Wiz.
But I thought it was interesting the way that he felt that he could easily break the types of car owned. He said there was the ones that obviously stay quite local and do localish journeys, and then there's, in this instance, at the time he was there, it's Tesla, really, the ones that have the long range. And it was those that people would use for longer range. Because he's got in the article, which is very interesting, and the link is in the show notes, so you should go and read it. But he does show on a couple of maps, here's the Tesla supercharger, and here's everything else, but I can't really get in any closer to show you the detail. And there is many more than the map is showing you because we're zoomed out.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because it was dealing, you know, this is something we don't necessarily have in this country yet because we're not...
Well, an integrated public transport system, because that's what most people use for short journeys.
Quite up there. No, forget that. Forget those dreams, Alan. Forget those dreams. I'm just thinking of the charging points, though, where they aren't centred around where people would need for local, you know, the 50 mile journeys going into work.
They want people out of their cars. And it works and it happens, and Oslo's tiny, so you can walk or you can get the bus and stuff, and nothing ever takes that long. So why the heck you would choose to drive to central Oslo if you don't have to, I don't really know. So you can have as many free charging points as possible, but the best place for your car is actually at home, unless you're going on a longer journey out to your cabin and stuff, which is the aim. That's what they're trying to do. Anyway, yep. Should we move on again? It's an excellent article. Go read it, please, now.
Yes. Do.
We've got lots of homework for you this week.
There will be a test.
I've not got much news, but here's all this stuff that you should read. And in this case, stuff you should listen to. And yes, there will be a test next week.
Yes.
We might call it a quiz, which is a subtle test.
This was, or I stumbled across this, I think it was because of Lee Walton, another friend of the show, someone who's been on Rearview, who put out an episode of the...
Who is a total and utter Chris Bangle fanboy, by the way.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have to be honest here, I was not as versed in the Chris Bangleisms as perhaps I should be, considering how much I like cars. But it's not... I've not... I love design. I mean, that hopefully becomes very clear if anybody listens to any of the designery Rearview ones. I really love design. So? I am very much in admiration of anyone who can do it and who can pull it off well. And I am quite happy to criticise what I think is not good design or is not designed to my taste. If anyone follows me on Twitter, will have noticed.
I think not to your taste is the point.
Yes,
okay.
Well,
yes.
I'm trying to be an adult about it. You know, let's give it a
you
go.
You are trying.
Let's give it a go.
You are really trying to be an adult about it.
Let's go out on a limb. But I have not gone into depth about specific designers' lives and where they've come from and why they do what they do. You know, because hopefully maybe one day when we're all grown up, they'll come on Rearview. But this Perception podcast actually was very interesting because they asked quite similar questions to ones I asked and Flo, and which I was quite gratified that somebody else does it that way too. But it was really interesting to listen because I think, even with my limited knowledge, that he is one of the most important designers of recent times. I don't mm-hmm. believe we would have the sharp lines and the look that we have, or the looks that we have on cars today, if it wasn't for him pushing BMW to go down the flame sculpting route.
Yep.
And it was great to listen to how he approached his job there, how he approaches it, what motivates him, and all that sort of stuff. So it is an excellent podcast. It's just under an hour. The link is in the show note. Mm-hmm. Go listen. It's an iTunes link. They don't seem to have a Stitcher one that I could see easily or anything like that. So if you're not on the iTunes, I think there might be a SoundCloud. So I'll see if I can hunt that out and put that link in as well, for as long as SoundCloud still exists. So go and listen to it, and really, and I hope you really enjoy it, and would love to hear what you, the listener, think of that if you do go and listen to it. But thank you, Lee, for putting that out on Twitter, because I wouldn't have seen it.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have seen it either. It's way over in business and lots of stuff, and it looks like I've got really interesting guests as well. Other guests too. Yeah.
Right. Well, because we won't go down Gossip Corner, and because we won't spend 2 or 3 hours having a pop at production of Model 3s and things. So
we've still managed 47 minutes so far, mate.
The show is ending a bit sooner than perhaps traditionally we do.
Well, no, we've waffled so much in between time, we've padded it out to us about the normal length, to be honest. So the and finally this week is a video from Petrolicious. Now, I watched this a few weeks ago. It's been out a little while. You might already have seen it. If you have, then I was reminding myself earlier on that it's well worth rewatching. And it's been out about a month now. It's a Petrolicious video on a 1987 Mercedes-Benz AMG Hammer estate. So it's a W124 with a 6-litre V8 engine, and it sounds wonderful and it looks wonderful, and it really is wonderful. There's a bit that just before 2 minutes in where it's exhaust note stuff, and it's just magnificent. Really is magnificent. It's a 6-minute video. Come on, that's not much homework. I mean, you'll thoroughly enjoy it.
It's almost apart from price and running costs, the perfect vehicle for me.
Yes, or something like that. Yes, no, it's absolutely it's stunning. It sounds great, and it's all the best bits of Mercedes and AMG before they started just sticking body kits on, or being forced to stick body kits on 180 on C180Ds and stuff. So no, that's this week's and finally.
Yep, it's a good one.
Really, goody.
Right, that's it then.
Good thinking, Boo Boo. That's it. That's us for this week's, folks. We will be back next week. Yeah, there's much nodding going on in the background. That's good. So everyone, don't forget that between now and next week, you can give us any feedback and share your thoughts for the show at Motoring Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, on Facebook, and on the contact page of motoringpodcast.com, the hub of all our activities. Don't forget about Patreon, please, available at motoringpodcast.com, orange button on the right-hand side of the front page, and to leave a review and rating on iTunes or however your podcast app lets you do such a thing. It really does matter, and to be honest, our iTunes ratings this past week have been rather good. So thank you so much to everyone who's been listening and downloading, to the special editions as well as the new show. It's we notice, we appreciate. Cheers. In the meantime, Andrew, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Best way to get in touch with me is via Twitter. If you search for Crack Windscreen, you will find me there. And Alan, if people want to ask you why is the Veracross gone, what's the best way for them to do that with you?
It is via Twitter as ever, where it's at, where I am even, at AGP Bradley. And I've changed all my icons, my social media.
If anyone was wondering why,
and I don't
now know.
and I'm not used to them yet, and it's all weird, and they'll probably change again. So, yeah, so it looks a bit different. But, yes, it is still my Twitter account. No, thankfully, I don't have to change. Have to change my usernames and things as well. Anyway, we'll be back next week. But until then, I've been Al Bradley.
I've been Andrew Clues.
And safe motoring.